It's 4 minutes past one, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Murray and Darren, the second hour.
Oh, second hour. That was, first of all, was just gone very quickly, just, and I believe it, with a, you know, I know that our next guest, she can be upset with me because I say Catherine, Katarina, Katrin, you know, say so many names. So like, you're laughing now. Catherine, welcome to the show today, and thank you for accepting to be with us today. Unfortunately, we can't have nobody still in the studio as a guest due to the COVID restrictions, but thank you for finding time to be with us in the studio. I know we met briefly a few weeks ago, and I have a good chat and a coffee, but for our listeners, do you mind to say who you are and what you do and how you help the people?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, first of all, thank you both so much for having me. It's just, it's such a wonderful program that you put on, and I just like to echo Natalie's thoughts. It's an important show that people can learn more about business and get more business insights, so we really appreciate it. And before I forget, a plug for Powerful and Empowered Women's Group, and especially Pratibha Banocharli, who you guys have come on board with and profiling quite a few of the women, which is awesome.
Thank you very much, Em.
Thanks. And for those of you who don't know me before, my name's Catherine Ellis. I'm also known as Catherine J or Catherine Joy. I'm a social entrepreneur, imagineer, author, speaker, and then depending on, you know, what the clients need, if it's an individual, then usually it's coaching, or if it's an organization, then we just say consulting. But quite often it's actually the same thing, but it's just how many people are you helping at the same time. And the way that we help people, we actually have different media programs. We have podcasts, YouTube series, blogs, as well as we have books. I have a new book which I'm actually going to be announcing today, the name of it, and I'm expecting to have the first draft, and also announcing a new podcast that we're starting today, and we all, and obviously the services which I just mentioned.
That's
how we help people.
Yes, Darren, you want to say something?
Well, I just listened to that bio, and I'm reading here in front of me as well, and just want to delve into the idea of imagineering. I just love that word, imagineering.
Look, that is a... let our guest answer this. And okay, please, go for it, Catherine.
Okay, I love it. Many years ago, I changed the way that I looked at the world and went through this process of imagining and then finding a solution and then committing and then having a partner. But I didn't have that language back then. And so I was already doing it back probably from 2002. But in 2013, it was like I had a dream overnight, and it was exactly the same as what I'd been doing for all of those years in the interim. But it was about a new language or a new branding. And so imagineering, I love it. It's about having a vision for the future, and it must be a positive vision. And then it's sort of like imagine plus engineering together. So engineering, I like to think of like the practical way, okay, how do we get there? So you put imagine plus the engineering becomes imagineering.
So another way to say it as well, it's a structure around your dreams to make them a reality.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Yeah. I like that. Thank you.
I'm an engineer, you see. So I get the engineering.
Engineering, that's correct. Yeah. So, Catherine, you know, I know that you write the books as well. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me, not to me, just to my Maori Beckett or Darren Kevs Davis, what makes you...
Hang on. Just lost you there for a minute, Mario. I'm just going to check.
We've got you. Okay. Can you hear us? Hello.
Hello?
Oh, yeah. No, I've got you back again now.
Okay, sorry.
Good.
I don't know what happened there. Sorry about that.
No, Darren and I will look at each other. It's like, okay, maybe because he can hear you. Why you took it on yourself to write the books? What possessed you? What inspired you? Or what pushed you to be the book writer? And why are you doing this here?
Yeah, I actually wrote my first book when I was 5. Do you remember when you used to have those little calendars with the silver spiral, then you would turn over each day? I wrote my first book when I was, you know, with that when I was really young. I mean, it sounds so crazy to say 5 years old.
Yeah.
And then I didn't really get back into it. And
hello? I think we lost Catherine for the moment.
Yeah, maybe you're
on a maybe we should take a short break.
Catherine, you've got
Catherine, can you hear us?
We'll just do a short break and
short break. You're listening live 90.5 Business Insights with Darren Nawari, the most sexiest, most productive, most valuable business radio talk show with Darren and Mario. We'll come back with our guest Catherine Ellis. We lost for the moment, and we'll take a short break.
Alive 90.5.
It's 14 minutes past one, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mari and Darren, and we've gone to the phone. Hopefully we have Catherine there on the phone. Are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Awesome, mate. Awesome.
And thank you for your perseverance.
Sorry about that. Look, technology gets in the way sometimes.
We need to call like 10 people to get your number. Then Darren realized he has an email. So like, I was like, that was a good
one.
So Catherine, the question before we lost you was, what prompted you? What inspired you to become the book writer? Why books?
Yeah, I find with, like, part of my background is in teaching. And so I don't like to do things twice. I'm a very systematic person. I like to have systems. So if I'm going to teach something once, I may as well teach something twice.
Yes.
And, for example, when I wrote my the first book that I put into print copy, which is Prosper As Your Soul Prospers, with a very long subtitle, A Holistic Approach to Basic Money Management from a Soul and Spirit Perspective. Okay. That one was as a result of teaching this stuff for 15 years and knowing that it works.
Interesting.
And so rather than continuing to teach it, it was basically, okay, so more people could get access to it, so more people would be able to break free with their finances and just be able to control their emotions much better. So it was just basically to help more people to get the word out.
Look, I'm going to read some of the names. So it's called Prosper As Your Soul Prosper, A Holistic Approach to Basic Money Management. This is very interesting. You said basic money management. Why didn't you start with a book, you become rich, you're a millionaire? Like, you know, there's a zillion books over there which says...
Yes.
You know, whatever, I don't want to name the titles because we don't want to be sued, but the point is there's so many books there, Darren, you agree with me? Zillion books, you'll reach the millions, billions, you know, you're sleeping on the money. Why your book says basic money management from a soul and spirit perspective?
Yeah, two reasons. One is most people don't realize, but what you do at a small level, so what you do with a dollar, what you do with $10, what you do with $100, is usually a pretty good judge of what you're going to do with 10,000 or a million.
Yeah.
So, for example, the quickest way to lose $1 million is usually to win $1 million because people are not used to handling that amount of money. So if we do it in a very basic way and just teach people even from children with pocket money, then we can build up from there. But and that's the foundations, no matter how wealthy you are. But also from a soul and spirit perspective. So quite often I've seen people putting together the financial intelligence, or what I call money smarts, together with the emotional intelligence, or I say emo smarts. But we're also by putting in the, so we've got soul is mind, will and emotion. So will, so it's not just the emotion,
yes,
it's your mind. So your mindset as well as your beliefs.
Maybe
so
this is Catherine. If I may ask a question, maybe you may or may not answer this question. Why the kids in school, we never learn as a children in school, as a kids, you know, or young age, why we never learn nothing about money in school?
I'm so glad you asked that question.
Thank you.
Because I'm aware that 100 years ago it was taken out of our curriculum. So a lot of what I do with Imagineering, it's leaving a legacy for the future. So it's looking back 100 years to go forward 100 years. So I've always got that in the back of my mind. So even, for example, the new book, which I'll announce later when we're talking, is actually linked to the Australian curriculum for the primary school.
Oh, that's interesting. Good, yeah.
Relevant for the high school as well.
Because I never learned nothing about money in school. I doubt Darren he was having the subject. Even if he's a born here, I'm not Aussie, oi, like a Darren yourself.
Yeah.
But I think it is, I've never been taught in school about money, except, you know, finish the school, go into the workforce and, you know, make money, whatever, you know, salary, buy the house, mortgage, car, whatever it is. But the children today, they have no grasp about money, except, you know, the need for some item, which is maybe lucrative more, maybe less, but nobody educated kids. And the most powerful thing it is, you talking to the group of the humans, which should be educated about money, because I say like other zillion books talk to the adults. So why we don't have that education, Katrin, and now why you're going to be as a part of Australian curriculum, which you're going to announce later on, that why is not important that we don't teaching our kids about money, even as a parents?
Yeah. I mean, this is can be a controversial answer.
Yeah, please, more controversial. That's what it is. Eh? Nobody listened to you except us and another 1.7 million people. So that's okay.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. The education system changed. Like, I was actually first training to be a teacher back in the late 80s, which is giving my age away. And then I've been in and out of that system many times over the years. And I have taught in three different countries. I've taught in different systems. And so the education system very much changed. And so what we're learning is a lot of things that we don't necessarily need in life. So if you're coming back, say, for example, to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, we need basically food, water, shelter, and then we grow up, we need a sense of belonging, and then right up to like self-actualization, your excellence, your spirituality, things like that. But what we've got within the curriculum, we've got a lot of things that a lot of people don't agree that should be in the curriculum. There are particular ways of looking at the world. And I believe that you're from a socialist country, is that right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, well, Croatia was a part of Yugoslavia. It was a communist country, heavy communist country. Yeah. And lifestyle was a different. There was no importance in all the money because we were supposed to be all equal. we were not.
Yes.
But the thing is, money was not important because we have everything for free. Like, you know, the state will all stipulate this. You have the free education, free hospitals, free this. Yes. But it was a different understanding of the money. Money was a root of all evils. That was a being.
And I mean, even that in itself, that's supposed to be a quote from the Bible, but that's actually not right. It's the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So it's talking about the love of money. So I don't love money, but I love the fact that we can use, like, money is a tool, money is a magnifier. So if we already want to be reaching out and helping other people, which is what I believe we should be doing, which I call, I'll explain a bit later, strategic social enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
However, if we believe that money is evil, or if we don't think money is important, then we won't treat it with respect.
Yes.
But also we can become a slave to that money. And so that's something that's really quite difficult. If you're from a communist country or a socialist country, you have the elites that have the businesses.
Absolutely.
Big government. And then the rest of the people that have nothing, they line up for food. They're lucky to get the very bare bones basics. But the country always defaults to bankruptcy.
Funny.
So this is what I teach with basic money management. If I have a certain amount of income and then I spend it, and I spend more than I have, I'm tending towards bankruptcy.
Interesting. You're saying something. I'm teaching people about money, and again, come back to that. My previous statement, zillion books. They don't talk about how to manage the money and to learn about money, but how to become the rich. But before you become even rich or be wealthy, multi-billionaire, we should learn how to manage the money. So I'm going to ask Darren to manage the time with you in our interview. So we take a short break now with us in studio, Katrin Ellis.
Love the segue.
You're welcome. And we'll come back more about money and why she spends so much effort and her passion and desire to help others. We'll take a short break. You're listening online, 90.5 Business Insights with Darren and Mario, and our guest in the studio online, Katrin Ellis, and we'll be back after a short break.
Alive 90.5.
It's 28 minutes past one. Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
And a thank to our guest in the studio live. Katrin, she's with us in the studio, not present physically, but she's online, live with us. So thanks to Darren Capes Davis, because unfortunately, due to COVID restrictions, we can't have Katrin in the studio, but we'll have her soon. Katrin, we talk about money, and we discussed why you're writing the books, but it's very interesting what you're saying. In I'm going to cite, maybe I'm jumping too much, and we agree about questions, but one of your senses says this: she wholeheartedly believes that we can change the world one day at a time, one person at a time, one decision at a time. Can you just elaborate for our listeners, what do you mean by this? Because this is very, very powerful. Your quote, it's about you. So it's not the Seneca, Aristotle, Marcus Aurelius or Tony Robbins, nobody else. This is Katrin Ellis. What do you mean by this, what I read right now?
Yeah, at the same time I was writing the book Prosper As Your Soul Prospers, I'd also started Imagineering to a Better World, but I didn't quite know how they connected with each other. And Imagineering to a Better World just started like as an outreach activity, more like a not-for-profit or something. I would go down to, say, events, and I would have a store where we would create a community banner. And I'd just interview people and I'd say, okay, if you imagine a better world, what does it look like for you? And then I would say, okay, the next one is solutions. Okay, what can you do today, this week, or this month towards that?
Yes.
So, say, Mario, I'll ask you, what do you see as a better world? What's the first thing you think of?
Cleaner planet.
Okay, great. Yeah, and you were so quick with that.
Yes.
Okay, so the next step would be, what could you do today, this week, or this month more than you are already doing to clean up the planet?
Pick up some garbage. A reason for this is because you fit so well for this one quote. Last night I watched it quickly, something on ABC. It was about Lord Howe Island, which I didn't know where it is. It's a part of Australia, but they talk about all this garbage and everything else. And then you're saying, you know, about this one day, one decision, everything else. So, like, it's a point where I try to make that I will do, Katrin. So, please continue. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But what I found by interviewing thousands of people over the first few years is, oh my gosh, people got it, that you can't just look out and say, okay, I want the government to do this. I want my parents to do this. I want my husband or my children to do this. We can only ever be responsible for how we respond to others, but we can control our own actions and be self-disciplined or self-controlled for our own actions. So the world our world starts changing with us first. And that was the key. Yeah.
That is very interesting.
And then, and then coming back to that, like if we have a vision, usually we're taken off track from our vision due to finances or our own character. We're not able to walk out our promises, even to ourselves. Like our yes doesn't mean yes, our no doesn't mean no.
So you answered the question I want to ask, why we stopped doing the vision. What we know the your vision, but what is your biggest drive, Katrin? What is your biggest drive?
Yeah.
Because it's not doubt, you know, passion in your wording and you know, the energy, I can feel it through the sound, on my headsets.
Yeah.
What so drives you?
Yeah. So my vision is to inspire and empower people to imagine a better world for themselves and to reduce world poverty, starting with the individual.
Mm.
And with that, if we are each, for example, if we are each responsible for ourselves and those we should be responsible for example, our children, perhaps an elderly relative, and then reach out to help one or two other people, we're part of the solution. Because part of my background I mentioned was as a teacher.
Yes.
And it was like, oh my gosh, how do you get people to care about other people? Or because it's such a me generation. And so over the years, mainly through trial and error, it was like, okay, music is great, creativity is great, and art is great. So for example, what I did with the Prosper As Your Soul Prospers, I was teaching it mainly to, say, older youth, young adults and those in transition.
Yes.
And so teaching about these things, about how do you build your character, how do you learn to control your emotions. And with that, what I found was one of the unexpected audiences of Prosper As Your Soul Prospers was millionaires or philanthropists, because they already got it. So they would buy the books for their adult children even, because they knew the answers were already in there. But what I found, especially with the title of the book, it sounds boring.
Boring,
unless I'm in front of people, and then they tend to get really excited about it. But with the new book, which I'm just going to announce today for the very first time, it's called Ash and the Midas Touch, and it is book one in the G2M Money Smart series. And G2M is this rainbow-haired social entrepreneur that comes alongside these young, these young students.
Mm-hmm.
So Ash is the main character. She's an Indian Australian, and then her best friend Dom is an Italian Aussie. So it's just really relatable, and it's set in the first instance, probably they're probably 10 years older, but also probably would suit, you know, more mature ones, even a little bit younger.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but teaching exactly the same things as I was teaching in the other books or what I coach or speak about, but this time doing it in anime, graphic novel style. And so through the kids learning and then they get excited, but it's also about the characters. How do they get on with each other? What are they learning? And using, you know, really simple language, because we need the kids. Because if we don't start to get control of our emotions and of our finances, then we're like a ship in the sea without a rudder. It's like we can just get knocked about to and fro by anybody or any ism or, you know, so we need to be able to, be self-disciplined.
You know what I think now? Just, you know, while you're talking, that's an illustrated book, right? Its characters are 10 years old. And I know there's going to be a lot of people on the side going to say, like, ah, that's for the kids. This is no good. And I truly want everybody to understand, this is the book you want. This is the book you really want. Not because it's for the children or illustrated, but it gives the right direction for those who come in after us, our kids, our grandchildren, everything else. And if they don't know how to live with the money, manage the money, how they're going to manage the life. And that's the meaning of the entire of the adulthood. You know, we continuously striving to learn. And coming back to that zillion books about money, about management, you know, when I see some of those books, I can't, Catherine, honestly, I can't. After 20 pages, like, God, I saw this sentence somewhere else. No, honestly, because I think truly, it's like a book I don't copy. People copy each other. They're just repackaging, you know, do a little bit marketing. But the money is very important. It's a part of our life. It's it's necessity. You know, I don't want to say it's the root of all evils, because you already re-quoted this properly. It's been said in Bible. But, Catherine, can I ask you, how this is going to fit with the curriculum in the schools? How did you succeed that you go into the education with those books?
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, I'm a teacher, amongst other things. When I went in and I just did a search, like, you know, financial intelligence, or I can't remember the exact words I used.
Yes.
The curriculum, the primary school. And there was only one example. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, only one example? Like, just in my book, which I've been using for many years, including in schools, and there's so many different examples. And so it was this particular one. I don't want to give away too much of the story.
No, please don't.
But it's a very, very basic thing. I'll just give you an example that's a bit similar that I do with adults. If I'm teaching a young adult group, or especially business students, as an example, like at university, and it would be, okay, if you got given $1 million, or even as a board, if you imagine that you're part of a not-for-profit board, and you know, you were looking at, you know, you had $1 million to spend, what would you spend it on? And just getting people to sort of think outside the box, those sorts of really practical things. Like I said, there's no difference between doing it for $10 or $1 million or $1 billion. The rules are always the same.
Can you share with us? When you ask somebody, if you have $1 million, what would you do with that money? What's the most common answer? I know Darren will buy the bike. I know that's for sure. He will drive the best bike ever. But, excuse me. But what's the most common answer you hear from people? What's the most common answer? Doesn't matter age, but let's just say adulthood. You know what I mean? Let's talk about adults. You know, what are you hearing?
Surprisingly, I get a lot of people would give it away or share it with their family. So family is such a big thing, even though people don't think it is. It is. That's such a basic value in Australia, is the importance of family.
Yes.
Quite often people would say, oh, I'd spend it all. or it could be, oh, I'd go for a trip around the world, or I'd get a house. But it's 99% of the time people say they'd just spend it all.
What would be proper answer? What do you expect will be answer you like to hear?
That's been part of my journey. So yes. I grew up realizing that, for example, to give away money can be good. So there's a percentage that you would give away to help people. And I remember with my very first pay, I was so proud of myself that I bought ice creams for my siblings and my mum and dad, and just wanted to do, you know, some nice things. but I also knew enough to put some money in the bank to save for the future. And so I'm really fortunate. Like my parents, they were working but also had a business on the side until they'd done their replacement income. So from that point of view, I was so blessed to have that sort of upbringing. However, even if you set aside money in savings, for example, unless you're looking at long-term savings, if it's allocated savings like I used to do, then I would spend it, for example, on education, on a trip, on a new car or something.
Oh, that's very interesting.
I would always default back to zero.
That's
I didn't know that I also had to do long-term savings, so I call that storehouse.
You know what? You remind me of something, some event. You know, when you asked me before I was in communism, I do remember, and I will now lie for the date. 30th of October, 31st of October, it's a whole day of savings. And I do remember they were coming to school with us with a red, you know, piggy banks, metal ones, darling, with a big red star. And it's like all your money goes inside, go big in the bank. You know, I mean, that was a savings. It's like, what are you going to save? Because you want to break all the time. So that was a... Yeah. You know, every year they bring in a school or in a kindergarten and, you know, you open the account very, very, very young. But you know what I like to see, Katrin? I like to see the big four banks comes to you and take as a part of their initiative to take your books to educate the youngest one. But before we take a break, darling, if you have the $1 million, what are you going to do first?
$1 million?
Yeah, what would you go to first?
What would I do?
Yes, Katrin's going to judge you now, please.
I think just pay any debts, which aren't much at the moment, but then look at how that $1 million can generate income and then do with that income what we've said. So, some philanthropic approaches, I want a new toy, a new bike, whatever, but that should come off the investment, not the capital. That's my
happy with that answer.
A plus answer.
Oh my God, A plus answer. We take a short break with us in studio, Katrin Ellis. You want to stay with us because you want to learn more how to manage your money. Not just become rich, because when you're rich, you need to know how to manage money. And Katrin Ellis provides those answers. You're listening online 90.5 Business Insights with Mari and Darren. We take a short break and Katrin Ellis on another line. Have a sip of water and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Alive 90.5. 14 minutes to 2, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mari and Darren.
Oh, thank you very much, Darren. And now with us in studio live, Katrin Ellis, discussing about money management. So, Katrin, interesting thing it is in your bio, you say you want to activate the 1 million lives. Most entrepreneurs says, I want to change the lives of 1 million people. Why are you saying activating instead of I want to change? That makes you very, very different.
Yeah, because I think everybody understands inside, for example, what's right and what's wrong. Like, we know murder is wrong.
Yes.
Just different things. Telling lies, for example, is wrong.
Yes.
So if we just teach people this basic stuff, I've found over the years people are like, that makes so much sense. I already understand that. It's like that common sense is there, but it's being confused over the time.
Yes.
And so it's like activating it, making it come alive. And even, like I talked before about the individual, but even, say, I talk about strategic social enterprise. And so that with businesses, sometimes businesses can get so caught up in greed. That's true. And even from the best of motives, you might get so excited about business and things get out of balance. But equally, the not-for-profit sector is not-for-profit, which means they have no money to spend or to invest, or it's just, you know, they can spend the exact amount of money on exactly what it is according to what grant they got. But what I'm advocating is, okay, there's a better way to do it. Not just your ticker-box corporate social responsibility, but it's your corporate social responsibility, but a new way of looking at it, which I call CSEE, your way to a better world. So social enterprise, evolve your way to a better world.
That's a very interesting answer. Katrin, may I take you outside of the scope of what you do? We do ask you for the tip for our listeners who are running the businesses. What would you give what would be the best tip? Anybody who will comes to you and say, Katrin, I want to run my business, but I'm afraid, or I don't have money, or something like this. What would you?
Yeah.
What would be your best advice to somebody?
Yeah. Okay. there has to be a purpose beyond yourself. And so people, you know, Tony Robbins and all these different ones have been saying that for years. And most people say, oh, it's my family, I want to buy a big boat. I'm saying, actually, no, especially post-COVID, we need to be stepping up and looking after it. Our community, our wider community, has purpose. If you have your, if your vision is attached to a wider purpose, So you go through, have an Imagineering session.
Yes.
You meet with your key stakeholders, and it might be, okay, one of, you know, there's an interest in helping homeless people or interest in helping, you know, people who've had children who've had cancer, whatever it is.
Yes.
But from there, you have a combined purpose, not just a ticker box that you do something once a year and you, you know, pat yourselves on the back, but you actually have that as a much more important part of your business that's all the way through. So it's like you're actually partnering with, it could, it might even be partnering strategically with a not-for-profit and a business.
So that, it's that's very interesting
way
yeah.
of looking at things and, yes. and helping people in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just asking, because that in the beginning of the show, you know, he was very excited about what Imagineering, but another question, this is my personal question. I just want to do to confirm something. Are you supporting that adults should dream or imagine things, what they want, how they want?
Yes.
Wow! The first one, I was just about to start, the, you know. Please explain to me why. Do you mind to share this why, Katri?
Yes.
Because like I know in society we live, I'm sorry interrupting you, but quickly, I have been told, stop daydreaming, stop imagining things, be realistic, that's never going to happen. But I said to myself, well, I really like to be on a line or back on the grass and watch the sky like as a kid. And I would imagine things. And, you know, I was lucky enough that I have a support of people around myself. So, you know, sometimes I was look like a, you know, like a ludicrous, like an idiot there on the grass. But sometimes we say, okay, you know, do it. So, tell us, why is it important we as adults don't stop to imagine or daydreaming or...
I think it's sort of like life, you know, the rough and tumble of life, it's like it beats it out of us. But without a vision, people perish. So, for example, at the moment, we've got a lot of people are so... And it's my heartbreak for the people that are just so caught up and watching the news 24/7 and everything, whereas I would suggest to people... Turn the news off. Yes, be responsible. Yes, respect people. Yes, obviously, we've got to respect the rule of law. I'm all for that. But then just turn, just have quiet time. Lay down. Look at the clouds.
Yes.
Start dreaming again and work out where you want to go to. And just be calm and joyful. And okay, we probably will go into another lockdown because we're, you know, we've got political instability and economic instability around the world at the moment, mainly because of COVID, but other reasons as well. And so if we do happen to do that, just take the time out and just think, okay, I'm just going to switch off, or even if it goes down, like from my experience of having been through states of emergencies in other countries, when things do go down, then, you know, usually the television is basically not doing normal programming and maybe there's government messages. And, you know, I can remember back in 2010, even Google was down. So I couldn't get into my Gmail for like 10 days or 14 days or something. But use that time and just think, okay, what's important? Who am I? What do I stand for? What do I want for my children? What do I see as a better world for me? And then a lot of people, it's interesting, a lot of people are even, you know, looking at spiritual questions. Well, what happens when I die? Or is there a God? You know, all of those things start, you know, it's... And I believe God's got this. I believe that this too will pass, and it's a time of where we can choose to be calm, we can choose to be joyful, and equally we can choose to be forgiving of other people. Like, not everyone's going to agree with us. We're not going to agree with everybody. And years ago we used to respect that, but recently it's like, oh, you know, you must hate each other if you don't agree. I don't find that. People are people, and there's always commonalities that we can come together and just love each other.
That is very interesting. What have you done about this one? You're just thinking, imagine now things, how you get in $1 million, then we go to Katrin, how to manage our money. That's what it is. So Katrin, before we wind up, can you share with us, for our listeners, how they can reach you and how they can get your mm-hmm. books and how they can talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the best way is to go into my website. So the website has a very long name, Imagineering to a Better World, but the short way to get there is I for Imagineering, M for Mother, the number 2.tv, im2.tv, and that will take you to imagineeringtoabetterworld.com, and you can sign up for the newsletter. And on the newsletter, we don't send it out very often, but if we've got a new book coming out, if there's different things coming up, I'll get a bit more active on that. I haven't done it so much. And then you can also see what books we have. And also on there, there's links, for example, to the podcast, to the video series. And also, really importantly, there's a blog series there where after all these years of people asking me what I imagine for a better world, I've got different blog posts there about what I see as a better world for media, for the medical centres, for different areas of society.
That is very interesting.
IM2.tv.
Catherine, thank you so much for being our guest for 1 hour mm-hmm. and with us in online. And we are truly hoping that with this restriction is going to become easy. You're going to come in studio, be personal with us in studio for 2 hours.
That would be
because,
awesome.
Like, you know, this is not up to us and we need to abide by the law, and it's a good thing. So thank you for being our guest today. Podcast with the Catherine Ellis is going to be on our website alive, 905.com.au today, sometimes after 6 p.m. Darren's going to make it available to everybody to listen. So please feel free to contact Catherine Ellis, or her details is going to be on our Facebook page, Business Insights with Darren Murray. Yes.
And thank you so much, both of you, and thank you, everyone, for listening. I don't know how many people are out there.
A lot. Trust us, a lot. Yes. Trust me, it's we're counting on thousands. And I mean, so there's no exact number this today, really, this moment, but, you know, you can later on call Darren or myself, and we can give you exact date. But thank you very much. Darren, what do you think?
Thank you so much.
That's the show. The Pass is up next, and we'll be back next week. Business Insights on Alive 90.5.
Have a nice weekend.
Alive 90.5.